All right, so Josh, as we wrap on Black Boy Fly, how do you evolve creatively while simultaneously finding your place in this world?
Yeah, I think my place in the world is in creativity. Like, I'm always like looking at something aesthetically pleasing. And I have like I literally mood board a lot, and I also like just like picture images a lot. And I have like my Instagram saved. I'm always saving something. I'm always looking for things to save. I have Tumblr. I just literally reblogged a lot of stuff like from my bed this morning. I enjoy stuff like that. I have Pinterest boards. I like do it all. And I just try to just learn new things and just get exposed, because I get fueled by creativity. So in order to like keep me fueled, like I'm like seeking out stuff. And I think that that's fun, kind of like discovering different creative spaces and then finding that one gem that does like tick something for you and inspires you to view something in a different way. So I think it's that's how I like find myself existing in the world, is just being supportive of others, because there's so many other talented people. And if we just had the that like supportive mindset, not saying that we don't, but I think it's just important to have that like supportive mindset, like, yo, like, I love how we all are existing in our own ways and contributing our own things and are building each other up in the process. So I think just like having like a creative circle around me and just like bigging up other people, that helps too. Wow. Creates a nice, pleasant environment for us to just focus on our art and just can put it out and inspire people, man. It's a beautiful thing. It doesn't have to be, you know, catty.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that's something that's inherent within creative spaces. You know, it's just that we're all family in some way, right? Not buddy-buddy, but supportive when needed. But keep it in mind that hierarchy certainly still exists, but much less so than in any other industry. But transitioning, Josh, self-sabotage certainly exists, right? As we all know. Have you ever in any way found yourself being the reason for your creative hindrance personally, or I don't know, how it may be perceived in the world? You know, we're artists and we're sensitive about our shit. And if so, what lesson did you learn?
Yeah, I definitely did. You go through a lot of like, you know, self-esteem things, you know, as an artist, because you just like, sometimes you compare your work to other people. Sometimes you seek validation. It just depends on the day. You can pick one. But I think the thing that keeps me motivated and keeps me grounded is like the foundation of like why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know what I mean? And remembering the way that you felt when you shot something that you really loved, the way that you felt when you saw someone else produce something that you really loved, and how it in turn made you, you know, galvanized to create something similar in your own way. So I always pour back into those moments as why I'm here, why I began, why I love what I'm doing, and also understanding when I need a break. Sometimes, like, bro, when quarantine first started, I was in such a creative rut, and I was like, but it's okay, because sometimes we need rest as artists, and I think that should be talked about more. And understanding that you can't force, like, something like art, man. You can't force the creativity, because then it's just not going to be authentic. And I think there's also, it's a balance between not just like living in like self-pity, but also understanding like, yo, I can focus on other things. Like in quarantine, I learned how to cook, because I was not turning on any type of stove before. And like, it was fun for me. And I was like really happy about it. And I think that's like sometimes needed. It's like a vacation, because as a creative, your mind is always working.
Right.
And you just never stop, especially if you, you know, are, you know, inspired by people like Beyonce, you know what I mean? She works a lot. And we literally learn from her and we adopt those things. But I think she also does a great job with like vacationing and taking breaks and stuff like that. And I think, you know, we just have to step away sometimes.
And speaking of contemporary bodies of work, right? We've referenced Black Ivy with Joshua Kissy and Travis Gums. But Josh, in a more modern context or recent, Black is King. You know, I'm sure you've seen it at least twice, maybe three times.
Before, yeah.
But, you know, give us your initial thoughts on Black is King, right? What does it mean to you as it sits parallel to Black Boy Fly in the canon of art, but also just your initial thoughts? Where were you when it came out?
Yes. First of all, I just want to say that I love Beyonce so much. I love her. I love her team. I love like everything that like Parkwood is doing, all the creatives that she selects to work with.
Come on, Parkwood.
Oh yes, I'm a stan. And I just would love to work with her someday. So that's like a goal of mine, and I know it's gonna happen because God wants that to happen for me, and I just feel it. He just waiting for the right time.
Yeah, man, just wait on the NDAs. Because if you're anything like me, I know that when they come, they're gonna come like the goddamn Titanic. So be ready.
Oh my God. My bags are packed now. I have a special emergency suitcase for this call. This is a Beyonce bag here, so but yes, Black is King was amazing. I was in Washington DC when it came out, and was like, I was just like, okay, this is a lot in a great way. I was like, oh my gosh, it's so many things that I love about every little thing. And I think it was this the Find Your Way Back, like that intro scene. I was like, what the hell am I about to watch? This is so good. And it was just so beautiful. And yeah, I loved it. And Move Forever, I think that was my favorite scene. It was just, everything was just so perfect. And I love like Jay-Z's like role in it. Like he was so fly, like the fashion, the clothing, all the people that I knew who were part of it, just being like so excited for them because that's big, and it's gonna be timeless art that we're gonna look back on, and this is gonna forever be iconic. So yeah, I shout out to everybody like who played a major role in that.
Yeah, shout out to Parkwood, shout out to Beyoncé, shout out to Zarina, shout out to
Tracy,
Kwesi.
yes, Serena, they did their thing, man. That they're always killing it.
Yeah, and for me, I think if there is a lesson in Black is King is that there's always room to come back to yourself. It's never as clean of a process as we'd imagine, and we will always have some remnant of our former self and of fear, but I think it's that fear that really reminds us that we want something. And, there's everything waiting for us, but it's already also within us, if you think about it. And that it's something that may come as a motif or that we have already heard, but that's what made it evident. That everything you already needed is everything within you. And it's also a motif in her music, in the least expected song, Partition. I just want to be. It's right here with me. For me, in addition to the great visuals, it's like everything you like in me is already in me, but just kind of turning it on its head.
Yeah. Wow, that was an analysis you just did there. Come on. He said, but I've studied, my queen, okay? A well-studied student. Student
A student of the culture.
of the culture, yes. Love that.
And let's talk about mood for like 2 minutes, in addition to Find Your Way Back.
I mean, I think just like the overall production was just mostly mind-boggling because the work of like the DP and like what he's done in the past. So like the visuals are going to be beautiful, and like everybody who's on the team knows exactly what they're doing. But I think it's just kind of like, wow, how do we even create this? Like, how do we even get to this point? It's like, and I think about all the work that it takes and like how talented these people really are, man. Like, if we see this output, we got to think about like this came from people's minds. It was raw, and it just literally developed from people's minds. And it's like, yo, those people are so special. I just want to see them do more because I know if you're able to produce that, and everybody sees the output and they loves it. But when you think about like, yo, people actually probably staying up late thinking about this, and like they had certain light bulbs, and certain people build ideas off each other, and it was this whole beautiful process that got us to what we see now. And that's the part I just like was like thinking about, like, and that's why I want to be a part of it because that's what I would get to experience.
And that's something too, right? And just the last thing I'll say is the feel of it, right? Any work that I do, I just want to make sure that people feel something, whether left, right, other, indifferent. I just want people to see themselves, right? Specifically feel that they're represented, that they're heard. And I think that's the most powerful thing about storytelling as a medium, right? And what we see in Black is King and also in Black Boy Fly.
I echo all of that.
So thank you, Josh. As we begin to wrap, I tend to turn the tables to have the guests either ask me or to pose a question or even a thought, that you've had as a creative to a broader audience. So, Josh, what advice or what question do you have, right, to the 20, 30, 40 something, in terms of pursuing their heart space, right, to do that thing that you know that they know need to be done to be brought into the world, but it's also something that only they can bring into the world. What advice or what question do you have?
Yeah, okay, I have a question for you. As a fly black boy yourself, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Wow. I have a few things that I'd say to my younger self, but foremost, I would say to just trust yourself enough to be yourself. Right? That everything is going to come in time. Everything is going to come in a way that's 10 times what you expected it or dreamt it would be. You know, whether it be something that I've been or you've been hoping for, yearning for years, you know, but that it all comes in time. But remember that if you rush it, you'll ruin it, right? You know, you have to be in a place to receive that, whatever that blessing may look like. And, you know, as I think and reflect back on my life story, right, it really has been, you know, the case that my life has been blessed, you know, and I'm not talking finances here, but blessed in experience, right? Blessed in intuition, blessed in presence, you know, being present in moments that matter most, the highest of highs and otherwise, you know, but within that, one thing will eventually lead to another, right? So, you know, as you consider and think now, you know, even to the lessons, if you don't have to reference them until 10 to 20 years down the line, that there's a reason you had to go through it, you know, that it just makes it so much easier to trust yourself, you know, when you have some point of context. And, you know, secondly, I would say to just be specific, right? And that's the most key piece of advice, right? And I mean, my mantra of just specificity, you know, visually and in all that you do, right? You know, own your highs and also collect your stats, right? As black men, we're often told to be hyper humble, right? We're told to not brag or to be too boastful, or we'll get like Marshawn lynched, you know, how he was treated in the NFL for really just speaking his mind. Or as creatives, I find that we also fall into this trap of no thanks or don't mention it. But, you know, when you think about it, there's a lot of work that goes into this, right? You know, if any advice, it'd be those two, right? Be specific in telling your story, you know, telling it well and telling it often.
Nice. And you know what was so beautiful about your answer is that that speaks to so many black boys. And everything that you shared was like helping me with like feelings that I've, you know, felt and things that I've had to work through. So I think just the beautiful thing is that, yes, we are all different and diverse. And that's beautiful, but we also have so much in common, and the ways that we view things or should view things can help us all.
Yeah, and Josh, as a brief follow-up, you know, I think it's also so important that we realize how far we've come, right, and the work that it took to get us here. And I mean, if you just look at you or I, right, our stories of, you know, having come from our respective backgrounds and cities, but, you know, at one point wanting to live in and impact New York City. Right, and to be doing that in our own ways, in our own lanes now, it's just immense, right? You know, and it's something to not be overlooked.
Exactly. No, that was, yes, nail on the head.
But Josh, as we come full circle, I'd like to know, how do you hone and maintain your creative edge? And if you could do so in a frame of mental health, right, that'd be helpful. And I think it's something that a lot of creatives would like to hear.
Yeah, I think one thing that's important as an artist is to have like intentionality. And I think that protects me in a lot of ways. Knowing just when things, like having discernment to know when things just align and make sense for you to dedicate your time and energy and talent to. So I think it's just doing the right things, like doing the right project, working with the right people, being honest with yourself about what you want to create, and, you know, not half-ass anything, and be able to like push back on like dates and stuff like that, especially for like personal work, if you're feeling like you're forcing it. I'm a big energy person.
Can we also talk on energy for a sec?
Yes. Like, I'm really big on energy and just like, just the feeling of something like feels right. And like, my intuition is very strong, and, you know, it's very accurate at times, I would say. And yeah, I think I'm just like, I know what like good vibes feel like. and I think that protects me as well. And I think that's really how I remain sharp as a creative, is just understanding like what I'm supposed to be doing, like having those, that type of intimacy within myself to realize when like I'm stepping in a in the right direction.
So Josh, as you talk about legacy, and as you think about the future of Joshua Renfro, the person, the visual artist, the entity, the brand, shit, the empire, right? Let's think big. What do you want for your work to say and do in the world ultimately?
I want the work to say, wow, I can relate to this, but wow, like, what world is this? Like, I want it to have, like, this element of, like, fantasy to my work, but I also want it to have this spirit of relatability. And I want it to feel like an experience. I want it to feel like have these elements that, like, resonate with you and, you know, or your brother or your cousin or somebody who you know and love, but also take you on a journey and show, like, what imagination can produce. So I think, yeah, like a hybrid of that is what, like, I describe my work as.
So final question, Josh. What comes to mind when you think of Black male culture?
Ooh, you quick on your feet. I think of a very unique and beautiful group of men who live in this very interesting duality of trial and triumph, where we are so loved and so admired and so accomplished in so many different things and so talented at so many different things. Yet we go through the worst shit and we have this duality that we have to, like, navigate in this space of, like, living in a world that, you know, systemically, like, is designed to hate you and work against you. We still manage to accomplish things, but we also get pulled back and pulled down with the systemic racism that we deal with, and the visuals and experiences that we have to endure as well. I think it's just like nobody else goes through this but us. And I think it's just a very interesting way to live. But nonetheless, I feel like I love being Black and I love Black male culture. And it's a story of perseverance. And we're going to continue to persevere. But we also are going to celebrate all the happiness that surrounds Black male culture and the beauty of our culture and the things that are so specific and unique to our culture that, you know, add to our overall ingenuity and just how dope and cool we are and fly we are. It's just like we just have certain, like, swag, you know what I mean?
Undeniable.
It's like undeniable swagger that Black men have. And yeah, when I think Black male culture, I think of just multifaceted, dimensional, complicated, but overarchingly beautiful.
Beautifully said, Josh. Thank you.
Thank you. Great question. Wait, can I do one shout out?
Of course. Shout everyone out.
Yeah. So basically, it's everybody who was a part of the creation of Black Boy Fly. Like, you guys were such a critical and important and amazing part of that project. So I just want to thank everybody who was a part of, you know, making the book come to life. Everybody who supported the book, bought the book, shared the book. Like, all that really made a difference, especially, you know, as an independent Black artist, like, that stuff really matters, and I appreciate it more than you can realize. Also, as I mentioned earlier, as an extension to the reissue of Black Boy Fly, I'm going to be working on a short film, and I have the pleasure of co-directing it with my friend, Curtis Taylor Jr. So I just wanted to give a special shout-out to him because he's been really holding me down during the planning of the reissue, and we have some really exciting stuff that we're working on, and the film is going to be so beautiful and moving and just dope. It's gonna have a lot of swag to it, and I'm just really excited for everybody to experience that. So shout out to Curtis and shout out to everybody who's just been holding Black Boy Fly down, holding this Black Boy Fly down.